Welcome to another episode of the Choose Your Soul Show. We are your hosts. My name is Hakeem.
And my name is Alyssa.
And we are passionate about providing perspective and resources to help you choose yourself to strengthen your soul. Now, soul, that's an acronym for soul, optimism, understanding, and legacy. So go ahead, double tap, subscribe, share, invite a friend, tell your family, because we're going to expand this collective together. Come on now. Every week, we got a special guest to help you grow your mind. And this week, we got Mr. Greg Peck one time. Impressive fella, man. OG in the music business as a vice president at Island, Elektra, Polygram, and Quest Records. Was a vice president at Warner Bros., then transitioned to the fitness industry, tapping back into his collegiate athletic career with a master's in speech, golly. Several certificates covering health, wellness, fitness, coaching, training, sports medicine, women's fitness, senior fitness, and a lot more than that, y'all. Man, I tell you, can't wait to hear from him. Also is an author of two books, Exercise for the Mind, Body, and Soul, and Exercise with the Stars. Mr. Greg Peck, y'all, how you feeling? How'd you sleep, my brother?
Oh, I slept excellently. I was excited, dog. I was restless because I couldn't wait to get to this opportunity, and I want to appreciate both of you for providing that for me, actually.
Man, not a problem. We always try to invite people on who have a story to tell and the resources to provide, because growing the collective conscious of humanity is part of our purpose on this show. So your journey from the music industry to the health and wellness, how was that transition and how did your mindset need to shift to navigate such different industries?
I'll be honest with you. It was very difficult. Because when you come from being a vice president, right, then you're used to leading others and so forth, all of a sudden you go to a whole different world and you're starting from scratch. And I had to reconcile the fact that I was doing something new that didn't seem to be on the level in which I had left. So psychologically, it took me actually, to be honest, about 2 years before I became more comfortable with the role, and I had to decide, what am I going to do? How can you be a vice president in what you're doing now mentally based on the fact that you just left an industry? And what I decided to do was to throw myself into learning the knowledge and to build slowly but surely to the point where I felt like I was a vice president of what I was doing no matter what I was doing.
That's the one.
That's kind of like the, you know, people say fake it till you make it and people dog on it all the time. But I'm like, I love that saying because to me, it means you're showing up as somebody who you want to become in the present moment so that you actually do become that person that you are looking forward to. So I love it. It's kind of like you got to act like the person you want to become before you actually are that so you can stay on the path to become it.
Start the course. You know, what is it going to take for you individually?
Yeah, and it's not about being fake. It's about having a fake belief in yourself as if you already possess the traits. You don't want to give off, you don't want to be lying and being deceptive to people, but you want to believe that you can actually achieve whatever the task is at hand by, like you said, learning, education, learning the industry that you're going into or any new job, new city, new relationship. You got to learn about the industry and then reflect on what you know already and stay open-minded to be able to shift your paradigm. Don't just deny everything from the people who are already doing it. I can't go over here and tell Greg what to do. He done did it all. I better shut up and listen. Y'all better.
Hey, first of all, like every time that you interact with an individual, you learn from them just like they learn from you. So, you know, I'm comfortable in the learning space as well.
Yeah. And that's a big part about being social, y'all. You know, going out and communicating and talking to others is how you realize what value you add to others. And it's how you realize your gift, what people appreciate about you. But if you don't ever get around people, it's hard to know. Yeah, so that's impressive. But you talk about having a keen insight into the psyche of others. How important is emotional intelligence in your coaching practice, and how do you help clients improve theirs?
That's a good question, because as a coach, you have to have what they call a coaching mindset. And that means that you have to be empathetic, open-minded, mindful, and you give that to your clients. And you make them feel comfortable, because if you're not feeling comfortable, they're not going to feel comfortable. If they don't feel comfortable, you can't get into providing the service that you're here for, which is to help them become their best self. So it's really a matter of starting with yourself. Before each coaching session, you sit down, you center yourself, and make sure you're wide open. and you're paying attention to the breathing pattern, the expressions, the words, the things that are said and the things that are not said.
How do you pay attention to things that are not said? What do you mean by that?
Well, so suppose somebody says that I'm happy, and I look at their face, and I look in their eyes and look at their face, and their face does not radiate happiness. I got a client the other day. I had him, he was talking to someone saying that he had just gotten let go from his job. And he was talking to this individual on the phone, who I don't know who it is. I happened to be sitting opposite of him. And he said, you know what? Yeah, I'm so happy that this happened to me because it's going to take me to the next level. I listened to his voice. When he got off the phone, I said, you know what? Excuse me for butting in for a second, but what you just said to whoever was on the phone wasn't true. Your voice told me that you weren't happy with what. Okay, the guy was astounded. He said, wow. How did you know that? I said, because I could feel it in your voice. And that led to me actually getting a client. Just from being able to pay attention, as you said, to something that was is being said but not said, and picking up on it.
Where do you develop, or where does one getting into coaching of any kind, of any industry, develop those traits?
To be honest with you, it's a lot of study. I'm certified by Well Coaches, both as a regular coach and also a professional coach. You have to go to school for it. If you really want to be, just like anything else, if you want to be proficient at it, you really have to spend the time to continue to grow. You never get to the point where you think that you know it all. I have a book in front of me every day about coaching. Although I'm a professional graduate, I've actually coached coaches. But the point is that this is the type of field that you never know it. You always keep evolving.
So yeah, I think that, I was just going to say, I think that goes for any industry and whatever you're doing, because everything is always evolving. Everything's changing, especially with the rapid speed of how technology is changing and the world we live in today. You have to be learning every single day. Otherwise, you're going to get left behind and you're going to be outdated with what you're telling people.
Exactly.
The only constant is change. So that's you better change your damn attitude. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck in the past. And we're going to leave your ass.
Also, you have to get rid of your ego. Ego gets in the way of a lot of learning, because some people become proficient, so they think. And they think they have nothing else to learn. And when they say you think you have nothing else to learn, then life is over for you.
How do you identify the ego in clients who are lacking self-belief due to ego, or are restricted?
Actually, when you talk to them and you can see that they're not being authentic, not telling you the truth, because either their ego would not allow them to admit that either they have frailties, weaknesses, or things that they need help with. And that's something you feel. It's hard to put a title on it, but the idea is to move past that ego and that's where trust comes in. When you establish trust with a client, then you can allow to go past the ego and get into the real person.
Yeah, I think the best thing to do to combat ego is just acceptance. Just acceptance for what it is, and then focus on the growth instead of focus on resistance or distracting or temporary fix. That's the big part about society now, is all these conveniences and all these little fixes are to help nurture the ego, to keep people separate and not open up to the power within connection, within a collective, within contributing. It's like, here's a quick fix. Stay in your house. Don't go nowhere. Control everything. Stay comfortable. Don't exert any energy. Don't deal with your issues. Bury your emotions. Cover them up. It's like the ego, the one is that's going to get checked when you get uncomfortable. Because that's when your true character comes out, and the facade and the veil gets lifted when you're under pressure and you're not in a situation where you know what to do. That's when the true work comes out. And that's what I talk about all the time, is setting that foundation so that, you know, when your building gets crumbled down and you come down to ground level, it's still the traits you acquired in your morning routine. You got a morning routine. I know you do. I saw, first time I saw Greg, I don't know if he did this on purpose, man, but I was lifting them 85s, bench pressing. All of a sudden, OG 72 come over like, hey, young buck, come spot me at these 120s. I said, what the? Let me put my little ass weights down. Went over and spot him. He hit 10 of them, 10, 12. I said, damn, I got to fix my shoulder. He crushed my ego right there.
Well, first of all, let me correct you, because I only did about 6.
Oh, you did? Hey, I'm trying to boost your ego right there.
That's what we're talking about, ego. Okay, now I'm standing and basking in that ego, but your listeners will get the wrong impression. And this is about authenticity. So it was actually 6.
I tried to set him up right there, y'all. Nah, he caught it. That's it. That boy is healed. Dang, that's tight.
That's hilarious. Speaking of the ego, though, I think the ego mind, too, a lot of us don't recognize it internally, but our ego mind hides so much from ourselves personally to protect us, right? It's also there as a protective mechanism to protect us from seeing things we don't want to see. And it, you know, it suppresses memories. And it does all these things in our subconscious mind where it's like, you need to break that thing open, crack it open, like you said, center yourself and see where you can release these things that you're holding internally that you don't even, you're not even aware about. And that's why I love that you're a coach, because for me, having coaches and mentors and guides through different aspects of my life have shown me what my ego was hiding from me. So it's like having people to guide you through these mental gymnastics that you're doing with yourself or how you're hiding things from yourself. It's so clutch to have someone there to show you what you're missing yourself.
Well, that's, you know what, if you look at it, that's about fear sometimes. Because if I put down my ego, then I have to look and see who I really am. And on the inside, I have to be honest with myself. And there are a lot of people who are uncomfortable about facing their real self. So it's easier to have the facade of that I'm confident and I have this ego. But underneath that is the fear of discovering who I really am.
And then you got to start over. After all that work he put up to develop an external character, you're like, I don't want to let that go, because when it goes, I got to start back at my childhood. You got to go back to diapers and get rid of all that and then deal with it, accept it, learn, and then establish a new belief on top, underneath the ego, on top of your childhood. We talk, AF talks about it all the time, the inner child healing. And I think the best way to crack the ego is to fail. You got to fail. You got to do shit that shows you you were wrong, because then the next time the ego pops up, you're going to have that, your spirit, you're going to have your authenticity, your intention, the creator's power within telling you, like, remember last time the ego said you couldn't do it? It was wrong, wasn't it? Come on now, push through. And the more you fail and the more you learn, and you learn about people who have done what you've done, or you read the science behind it, or you talk to people who have done it, the quieter and quieter the ego gets, although it might try to come back like, no, that's not right. My mama said, that's where you got to be like, shut your ass up, man. That's where humility kicks in and gratitude, and then override the ego.
Yeah. Inner child healing is so crucial. And I don't know if they do this in regular therapy. I've never been to like a normal therapist. I guess I've done a lot of different things when it comes to plant medicine and working with psychics and guides like this. And I went through this inner child healing visualization once that brought me to tears. I was at first going into the healing session, I was like, I think I have these issues here. I had these memories that came up that I forgot about. And then as soon as we got into the visualization, she had me meet my inner child, my younger self. As a four-year-old, I knew exactly what I was wearing. I knew exactly what my haircut was. And it was like I was talking to myself back then, like my four-year-old self, and just holding her in a way that released all these, I kind of had a lot of like walls up in myself, in my inner world that I was not letting down until I talked to my younger self. And I was like, okay, we're safe here. You don't need to hold up this wall anymore. You're safe. You can express yourself authentically. And I was like bawling. I've never experienced that before. But since that moment, because I had that interaction with my younger self in this visualization, it was like I could be there for her like no one else was when I was actually that age in this body. So it's just interesting when you do these practices to really center yourself and connect with these memories that you maybe don't really go back to very often. It's very eye-opening and it helps you release a lot.
Well, in coaching, they call that internal family systems, okay, because you have a lot of different parts of yourself. And I'm not a proficient person in that particular style, but I can tell you a little bit about it. It's just as you said. You go in and you look at the various, we're made up of a lot of different things in our mind. For instance, simply, okay, I'm going to go to the gym today. Okay, that's one thought. That's one person. The other person said, you know what, though? But you're tired. Then the other person said, well, did you eat? Or what about your sleep? You know what, though? Your favorite TV show is coming on in a half hour. What are you going to do? Now, a lot of people have to reconcile all of these different portions, which is the internal family system, to decide which part, what is going to be the portion of myself that takes hold to make me go to the gym, as I said, to overcome all of these other things. So that's simply what you were talking about, actually. That's a style of coaching.
Yeah.
Kind of recommend.
For sure. Self-discipline and self-suppression are not the same. I said it the other day, one of my contents. Self-suppression is denying the desire of, I want to sleep, I'm hung, I'm tired, my girl's going to text me, you're denying those things, but you're bringing it to life. You're making it harder to get over it. If you focus on the discipline, the higher discipline over the lower discipline, then those things just go to the wayside. You focus on the gym. You focus on how you're going to feel. You focus on the chemicals that are released. You focus on what your body's going to look like, how you're going to feel after. You focus on those instead of the excuses. Then you go from suppression to self-discipline. But talking about spirituality, man, you do physical, emotional, and mental health in your coaching. How does spirituality fit into your coaching model, and how do you approach it with clients, especially nowadays where everybody's so sensitive about what they believe?
Well, you know what, though? I think that sometimes people get confused with spirituality and religion, okay? And they're two distinctly different things. And the thing is that there's the spirituality of just of the universe, of religion, of all these different things, right? And part of this is what I call mindfulness and listening to your internal direction, because we have within us, if we quiet ourselves, we have something in us that actually tells us what's right and wrong, what direction to go in. And that's how, in terms of spirituality, I don't deal with it per se, but I try to talk to my clients about quieting themselves. That's why in coaching, one of the most important things that you do is be silent. Okay, because I have to, if I ask you a question, I don't want a quick answer. I want to have the answer that comes from within you, that's really deep down inside. That's the, in my feeling, that is your spirit, your inner spirit, speaking to you in terms of what the answer should be, because you know the answer, but you have to quiet yourself in order to get to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And intuition is very subtle too. It's your intuition, essentially, listening to your intuition, especially as women. We have such strong intuitions. I feel maybe even stronger than men, but I mean, I don't know. I've only never been a man before, but it's knowing. But and I think the problem a lot of people have in today's society is they don't ever sit down and quiet their minds. We're always in a rush. There's so many things going on with family, jobs, whatever, that we don't take the time to just sit and listen. I always try to urge people to start meditating. And I know it seems so cliche to say, and you hear it all the time, but it's like, how often do you actually do it? How often do you actually take the time to sit down for 5 minutes and just sit and listen without thinking about what you need to do in the next half an hour, what happened yesterday, or what all the tasks that you have to do at hand? How can you take some 5 minutes and just listen to your body? Especially, I one time went to this Tony Robbins seminar, and he had us think about a major problem that we had in our lives. And, you know, we can all think of something that's like really a forefrontal issue that we're like dealing with. And he was like, okay, now I want you to get into a state of gratitude. Think of somebody in your life, your kid or a family member or somebody you love dearly. Think about your best memory with them. And so we got into this mode where we're thinking about the happiest memory ever. And we got into such a high state of gratitude. And, you know, he has the music booming and we're jumping up and down and like screaming with our bodies. And we felt really good. And he's like, okay, now go back to that problem and solve it now. And everybody was like, all the people I was with, we all came to a solution immediately because we were in such a high state of gratitude. Instead of solving problems from a state of stress and anxiety, solving it from a place of gratitude when you're feeling good, it was so magical. I'm like, this is such a great technique. I need to tell everybody. But
yeah, that's tight. Put some gratitude in your attitude now. And for people who think their religion is better than others, let me give you a little analogy here. Okay. So if you're married, you wear a wedding ring to represent your marriage. If you take the wedding ring off, or you wear a different wedding ring, or somebody's wedding ring is different, it doesn't matter. You're still married. It means you're married. But if you're not married and you wear a ring on your wedding finger, you're not married. You can't just be religious and not spiritual. You can be spiritual and not religious. The religion is the wedding ring. The spirituality is the marriage. Okay, so I don't care what your wedding ring looks like, what your title, what your text, what his name is, what he wears, what color, if it's the stars, the moon, your mama. Listen, as long as you believe in yourself and something greater than you, that's going to give you confidence and humility. And then if you're able to reflect on your past and focus on the places that have helped you grow instead of the places that made you grow, now we're talking about being authentic.
I agree 1,000%. There's so many, just say the concept of God. Now, you start off by saying that people get caught up in their particular religion being the best. If you look in all of these books I'm talking about, I've studied Buddhism, Hinduism, Muslim, or Christianity, Judaism. If you look at all these books, they all tell you the same thing.
Same thing.
And it's the same route. You choose the route but your destination and ending place is actually the same.
Yeah. Yeah, I say that all the time too. I say that all the time. It's all the same. And I find truth in all of it because I was the same. I took a couple of religious study classes in college, and you probably know way more than I do because it was very service level what I studied, but I found out the same thing, and they all lead back to the same place. And what I find is Christians, bless their souls, they're the ones that always want to argue with me. I'm like, I love Jesus, great guy, great concepts, love him, like, you know, but I also believe in that. I feel like for me, God is way bigger than just Jesus and Christianity. It's way bigger than that. It's like, I feel like sometimes having just one religion, one religious belief is so limiting in my body. And like, it feels like it's not expansive enough. I just don't, I believe in the teachings of Jesus, but I also believe in Buddha. And I also believe in whatever Krishna said and like all these modalities and gods that come through. I'm like, I think they all have really good insight. I'm going to look and take what resonates and leave what doesn't.
It's really all of the same. You know, it's just different wording, different techniques,
different characters.
Different ritual, but different persons that are revered. But behind all of that, it's the same thing. And I would suggest to me that if you're going to call yourself a practitioner of any particular religion, that you actually study a little bit about all of them.
Exactly.
Okay, and not be so locked into just what your thinking is and what your book says, because there's wisdom in all of these books.
Yeah, that's always my point too.
And then once you find the similarities in every religion, that's the true truth behind the one you believe in. When you start to find the principles, the requirements, the isolation, the struggle, the pain, the contribution, the connection, the prayer closet, you know, the delivery method, the whole process of it is similar in each one. And that the similarities is what brings us together, but religions make us focus on the differences. For the most part, at least if you don't read them all, you're going to be thinking about just one, you know?
Mm-hmm. You pick the path that resonates the most with you.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that the others are obsolete.
Right. One book that really helped me find a resonance with what God means is A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson. Have you read that? It's so good. It's so good, but she kind of just takes it back to God is love, and that's all he is. And so however you interpret that, it's whatever you want. But to me, I'm like, that's what he is. God is love.
Yeah, feel that. So I talk about authenticity a lot because I've always been an outcast. I've been the dude, the rebel, and people have called me a leader my whole life. But I really didn't embrace my authenticity probably until like the last 5 years. Did you notice a shift in like the very first shift to where you're like, I can be myself and make something of this? Or were you always on that path?
You know what? Quiet as it's kept. It's so funny that you asked that particular question, because I reflected back all the way back to elementary school, junior high school, college, and going forward from there. And actually, I was always doing the same thing. I had never really put a title on it. Okay. It just, people would tell me various things, but I never really, put a ribbon on it to put it all together. It's not until most recently that I realized that, you know what? You have been coaching people and being in this space your whole life. It was spoken to me, and this came once again, unless you talked about intuition. What came to me was that something told me, you know what? You've been serving people your whole life. This is your role. This is why you're here. You're here to serve. Okay, and that was what hit me in terms of authenticity, going back and I did that by going back and looking at all the experiences I had from early life until now, and realized that quite as it's kept, I've been serving people my whole life. I just never really thought about it.
Because it was natural. It was natural. It's what you were drawn to do in the situation.
Correct. It's like, and it wasn't about putting a title on it or being this or that. I mean, like, look, for instance, in high school, I wasn't the best player on the team. The team named me MVP, not the coaches, the team. And I look back on, so what? You weren't the best player. You were about the fourth best player. But the thing is, I was the glue. I was the glue with the Chinese guys, the white guys, the Italian guys, the black guys, the Puerto Rican guys. I got along with all of them. And because of that, we created a unit. So they were the ones that said, you're the MVP. And I'm just saying, I didn't even think about all this until recently.
Yeah. Yeah, that reminds me of my hot sauce story.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
No, when I was younger, I was a bully when I was younger, like super young, kindergarten, and then I got bullied, and then I became the bully defender. I would stick up to bullies when they would pick on people, and I'd hang out with the outcasts. And then as I got into high school, you know, I was always making nicknames, and I was always making gangs and little, not gangs, but groups, and like, you know, little freaking jingles for each group. Like when I was with the athletes, I had a jingle. I was with the light skins. I was with the Mexicans, I had a jingle. Like that was my thing. And since like sixth grade, I'd bring hot sauce, and I realized by the end of the year, there was a line, 20 people at my table wanting to use my hot sauce. And I go through like one a week, one big ass 175 with the handle of Louisiana freaking hot sauce, pouring these ramekins out for everybody. And we didn't have no money, but I had to have my hot sauce at school because it was important to me that I could provide to people a sauce that, one, the school wasn't given. So I wanted people to see, yo, your peers have things that we can benefit from. Just look within each other. But also, our school was segregated still, 2000. So we had like, we had a big Laos community. We had a Morelos community. We had a Somali community. Then we had like honky-donky whites, preppy whites, athletes. And every table had somebody come up. And so for kids to see that at lunchtime, that we all like something that's the same. We might not be able to talk the same language, but if they see a line at the athlete table, the cool table, my table, because I had the coolest one in the school, because I didn't give a damn. Everybody was at my table, and the cool guy was helping out the random people that he couldn't even understand. All I know is that from that point on, I was the connector. I was throwing events. I was getting, yo, I got this person. He has a party. Let me bring them over here. And it turned into a party scene. I was a party promoter and doing all that, but I was still the connector, the experience elevator, the dream activator, the energy provider, the center of the, you know, make people laugh, make people realize, oh, he's like that. Oh, he did that too. Yo, hey, come meet each other. Like that was always what I wanted to do. And so then after bartending for, you know, 15 years, joined my uncle and his liquor company. And immediately I was like, I'm not here for the liquor. I'm here to connect the farmers and the founders to the buyers at the bars. This ain't about liquor. This is about connection. Mm-hmm. And as I develop into the Choose Yourself brand and company, it's about getting people to understand that the similarity is authenticity. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to connect without knowing who you are, because you're going to be judging people. And until you stop judging yourself, you're always going to judge somebody about something that you don't see in yourself. And so now it's came full circle. Well, now the hot sauce is love, baby. Spicy and love, baby. Got the spicy love for y'all.
Hot sauce is love. God is love.
Hot love. Yeah, that's a story I didn't really, up until this show, really. Or, yeah, I think this show, I told it for the first time, and I was like, oh, shit. And it just came to my head that that's what I was doing. But I never knew why that hot sauce was so important to me, because I ate it, but I didn't need it. But I needed my mom, we was broke. My mom's like, you want cereal or hot sauce? I'm like, hot sauce. I don't even need cereal. I'll freaking eat it. I'll eat some water or shit. I don't know, with some bread.
Hot sauce, Hakeem.
Hey.
When it comes to authenticity, though, and I've been working online since 2018, over 6 years now, and I have always shown up as myself and connecting with my audience and building relationships through social media with people that are in other states or even other countries. I've always just been myself and shown up as myself. Talking in my stories, especially, I'm very comfortable with doing that. And I stutter over my words. I cuss a lot. I tell my stories. I show up like not looking super great. I use filters, but whatever. It's not like I feel comfortable showing up without filters too. But all that authenticity and just using my voice and how I speak and not really caring what people think has brought me a long way. And so I know a lot of people, if you're listening to this as a listener to the show, and you maybe want to put yourself out there and make these kind of connections, just be yourself. No one's going to judge you. You're going to attract the right people that are also looking for that authenticity themselves, because there's so many people on social media that showcase these perfect lives and they're always makeup done all the time. And like, you don't have to be like that. You just got to be yourself. Just make sure you have good lighting. Face the window.
Yeah. I say don't filter your face. But what I mean by that is don't be editing. Don't be taking out the freckles, adding shit, making your shit skinny, moving your nose. I saw a girl do it recently. That's why I've been saying it recently. I was like, did you just change your face in front of me? What? That is not you. You do not look like that. You about to post that? Oh, hell no. Everybody thought filter it, but I don't mean filter, because you can swipe right, get a filter. But when you start adding titties and ass and shrinking your waist, and then that's the thing. Now, when I see you in person, I think you're a liar. and you don't love yourself. Now, when you attract people online over that image, you ain't never going to meet them because that image is fake. They don't want you. They want the image. So when you start developing this character, external character, you create a dissonance between who you are and who you're trying to be, which is going to create friction and stress internally. And it's going to depart you further away from your God-given purpose because your purposes are authentic. And that's the only reason, that's the only way you tap into it. But also when you put up that facade, you attract the wrong life. I can't go online and say I'm rich. Guess what? I'm going to get around them rich people and I'm going to be broke as hell. And they're going to know the moment we get on that yacht. Hey, you got 5,000 on the, what? 5,000 on a bottle? Hell no.
Sure don't. Sure don't.
That wasn't even my car in the post. Shit. You know? Can you share a story where a client or associate surprised you or made you rethink your approach?
You know, we're taught as coaches that you're not supposed to give advice. Okay, you're supposed to just solicit the advice from the client. But as you begin to get into coaching more, you realize that there's different styles and methodologies in coaching each individual. Some individuals, as long as you ask them if it's okay if you provide advice, then you can give it. I can't give it off the top. Because it's your life. It's your life to live the best life that you can. But some people really don't have a clue because they've been so disconnected from themselves that they really don't know how to get to that space. So you don't volunteer to fix someone's life or to give them advice. But if they need it and they ask for it, you can provide it, but you're only providing from this is the way I see it for me. It might not be the way that you see it. Okay, so, but I want to provide that for you. Okay, so that's what, so when you say what methodology or what have you evolved to in that regard, it was from feeling that it was I should never give advice to knowing when to give it and how to give it.
Sound like my dad. His name's Greg, too. His name is Greg. You might know him, actually. You're in the music industry. You know ipso facto? Reggae jazz band from the 80s.
You know what? I've heard of it.
Okay. That's my family in them. Yeah. But okay. I heard that from Gigi, or what's the human design guest we had? She said the same thing about Jana.
Yeah.
She said the same thing about me. Like, you don't go telling people, but the moment they fill up your empty bowls with a request, you're ready to tell them. And that's one thing that I've noticed is I can't go out here being positive because people ain't ready to learn, grow, and face themselves all the time. You just go automatically be hated if you're too positive all the time, and then you're never going to be able to get to their problem. So it's like you stay open and you show authenticity. You show radiance. You show vibrancy. You show high frequency, and then you attract the people who are either on the tipping point of, okay, fine, I'm ready, or they're literally just snapped and went in their dark place and their doctor was like, you better work out, you're gonna die. Oh shit, did he disappear? Or no?
Yeah, he did. Oh, I'll just highlight it. He's coming back, yeah. Oh, just wait for him. I highlighted it, so hopefully he'll just tap back.
Okay.
Bad internet connection.
Tap in.
This is going really fast. I'm like, oh, we're already been on here for 35 minutes.
A good combo. I told him to click back in.
It said bad internet connection.
Damn podcast, so we got deep mode next week.
I canceled it. I canceled podcast. I'm going to look for something better.
Okay.
It just, I think the subscription goes up on like the second or something. Like otherwise, just Zoom. I don't know. I have to figure it out. So like this shit's pissing me off. What?
Yeah, maybe just Zoom. Zoom seems to be the most.
Yeah, but then the only thing is then it's like we can't, it's going to be hard to edit.
Separately.
Yeah. So that's the only part that I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if there's something better. So I was Googling a little bit yesterday. I downloaded Riverside FM, which is kind of similar to Podcastle, but I don't know if I trust it. I don't know. I have to play around.
Now we're all freaking skeptical about everything. It's got to get that studio floppy in.
I know. I keep seeing all these good podcast posts from other people that have podcasts. I'm like, their stuff looks so good. I want that. But I'm like, it's early. We're just, you know, don't have to be perfect yet.
Yeah, we just building at least is beneficial for us individually, too.
Yeah, true. What's he say? Did he say anything?
Yeah, maybe it's what's the name died.
Because I did get the little orange sticker above his head that said, like, bad internet connection. Yeah, it always makes my heart drop every time. And then mine pops up, I'm like, oh, please no. I think our last episode's fucked, too. It just won't. With who was the last guy we had on?
Damn. Sharon.
Yes. Oh, he said
fucked. Oh, yeah.
Hello, we made it back.
Yeah, we made it back. Sometimes there's technical difficulties in life. Just like anything else. If everything was still school, there'd be no such a thing as a problem, and we'd never learn anything.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
I tell you.
Just saying that.
For real. You got to learn. Yeah. But yeah, relearning your approach. That's one thing, you know, I've learned is to live in your purpose and authenticity, but don't force it on others. And don't judge people if they don't align with what you believe. You know, just stay open. Oh, lost him again. Shit. Not devil fucked. Not.
Oh,
he's back. You're good? Did we disappear?
I think he's here for me.
Now.
Okay.
Run that back, what you just said.
Yeah.
You good?
Yeah.
I mean. Yeah. No, definitely, you know, live in your purpose and develop your purpose and connect to whatever's within. And then as you move through life, let that be your guide, whatever's within, instead of what you learned, who taught you, what they gonna think. Who's going to judge you? I fear loss. I fear change. We're supposed to embrace the losses by not attaching in the first place, because everything's supposed to come and go. You know, focus on the detachment instead of the loss. Focus on, you know, the fear of missing an opportunity versus a fear of failure. You know, change your focus. Choose yourself.
Yeah. When it comes to human design, that invitation is so crucial if you're a projector, because I've been there too, where I try to give people advice and they didn't ask, but I can see the better way of doing things before other people. And if I tell them that before they realize it, it's like I'm coming off condescending and making them feel stupid. I'm like, I'll just wait for you to ask me what to do and I'll tell you. And then you'll be like, oh, thanks. Instead of like, you know, so I'd be curious to know what your human design is, Greg. We'll have to look it up after the show.
But you know what, though? The thing is this. When you speak the truth, you're speaking your truth.
Right.
And your truth might be different from someone else's. So what I mean by that is, like, you know, when you give advice, that's why you have to preface it with, that's how I see it. That's not necessarily the way that you should see it or the way it is for you, because that's when it becomes a problem when I'm trying to direct your life, as opposed to saying, here, you know what, here's an alternative thought. What does it resonate with you? How do you feel about it? Because then they have an opportunity to go back into their own thoughts and to see whether what you said resonated or did not. And that way you're not telling them what to do. They have an opportunity to look and see if it resonates.
That's why we got the show. That's why we got the show, man, because every time, we all do coaching, but we got a coach on here. We all do, you know, discipline, and people are into similar things we are, but we bring them on here to have a deeper understanding of our own belief and stay open, you know, and focus. Really, I try to just focus on that ability to stay open every time I hear something.
Yeah, that's great insight, though. The verbiage that you use when you're talking to people is so important.
Yeah, sometimes I forget that part. I just be talking shit, but hey, only on my channel. I don't talk shit in person anymore. Okay, I'm trying to stop. All right, but if I see your big ass at McDonald's, I might scoff at you, because your kid can be sad when you get sick. I'm like, really? A supersize everything and you're 400 pounds? What the hell? Yeah, dang, at least you walked there. All right. What's an emotion you've only recently come to appreciate or understand better, and how do you incorporate this newfound wisdom into your coaching or lifestyle?
Well, we talked about, when you sent me that question, that was the one that stumped me the most in terms of what the answer to that would be. Because I feel that passion is the most important emotion, and I realized I had it, but I said, you know what? In order to really get to the bottom of anything, you have to be passionate about it, which means that you really want to learn about it. And I won't say that I just discovered it. Let's say I just put a title on it and just started to really like live that and feel it in a way, acknowledgement, as opposed to just living it.
Damn, that's big though, right there. Instead of living it, you acknowledge it. I feel like for all emotions, that's how it should be. For emotional intelligence, emotional management, emotional control. To AF says all the time, emotions are like the clouds. Okay, they gonna come and go, and they gonna provide you with all kinds of things. But one thing's for sure is they gonna go unless you hold on to them.
The clouds go away.
Yeah, well, that's the importance of recognizing your individual thing that you need to hold on to. As you just said, all kinds of feelings come and go, but there has to be a bottom line in which you live your life by. And that's something that never goes.
Yeah. Your moral values, your belief system, your core values, you know, that's your awareness, your self-efficacy. Everything's internal. Everything's internal if you want to find peace. You can't start, you can't be trying to control other people and everything outside. It's like, man, you got to do your own yard work. Don't be talking about the neighbors. And don't do your yard work because the neighbors looks better. You should do your yard work before.
And you don't have to identify with your emotions either. I just had a download yesterday where I'm getting ready to just be speaking a lot more than I have been. And I'm like, but I'm not. In my head, I thought to myself, I'm like, I'm not a public speaker. And then I took a step back and I was like, wait a minute. I don't identify as a public speaker right now. So if you don't identify as something, instead of saying, I am not, I don't identify, changes it a little bit because you can give yourself room to identify as it. So if you say, you know, I am not a happy person, I don't identify as happy right now. Can you eventually? Probably. So just change your thought processes and how you think to yourself too, and the language you use with yourself, because you're never stuck in one thing. You're never stuck in one emotion. You can help it go away just by a little bit of changing in the way that you think.
Yeah, even saying, I'm getting better at, or I'm working on. And that's something about like manifesting. I think people get confused is you're not lying to yourself unless you're like, oh, I'm a millionaire, and you're not, you know. But to say I'm a fitness guy and you just started working out today, oh shit, lost them.
Again. I know. It's
I'm all back.
I know. I don't have much left. We can make it. Just highlighting.
I know we didn't lose Sharon. Damn.
I know. Well, I was pissed off yesterday looking at it. And so I did the little podcastle help deal, and they gave me some directions to like email them and see if they can recover it. But you can try and see if it will load on your end, just because when I click on the recording, it doesn't load. It like is all white. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We're back.
No, I was saying, day one is just as important as day 365 on a 1 year goal. So if you say, if you go to the gym today and your goal is to go 3 times a week for the rest of the year, you go one day, you are now a fitness guy because you plan to go. It's not, oh, I just started. Oh, I only went once. Oh, I went today. But no, you make one choice. You stop smoking today, you're not a smoker until you smoke again. And that's how you develop your belief. You start diminishing your confidence by saying, oh, I just started. Oh, I only go 30 minutes. Oh, I only, look, you are on your way. So own that shit. As long as you've made your first choice or first step towards it, then claim that shit and really believe it.
Well, you know what? It's very interesting that you said that, because one of the things that we do in coaching, when someone decides that there's something that they want to do, one asks them, what obstacles might you come across that will prevent you from doing that? Or what support systems do you need to make sure you do it? Because as you said, you say that I want to go to the gym and I'm going to start going to the gym, and I go once. I said I'm going to go 3 times. I go once. That's all I had time for this week. So then I feel like a failure. Okay, so now instead of feeling like a failure, going back and saying, you know what? My intention was to go 3 times. This week I only went once. I'm going to try again next week to go. And what conditions do I need to have around me to help me make sure I stay on that? Well, who do I need to tell one of my buddies that I'm going to go to the gym 3 times, so when I don't go, I have somebody that I feel like I let down or whatever. So that way that helps me. So finding out what it is that you need to help you overcome obstacles is really important. And also having a support system for what you want to do. Because nobody, it goes 100% in the direction they want to go without some type of obstacle. And you got to be prepared for that. So that way you can look at it as an obstacle and learn from it, or find out how do I get around it.
Practice, perform in the game of life. You got to practice and be prepared to perform. And if you want to make the team, if you want to get your promotion, if you want to level up, there's going to be a test, man. That's how we separate the two. Ain't enough room at the top for everybody. So for us to be able to appreciate that healthy and authentic life, we have to have people at the bottom. Oh, shit, I don't want to be that. If everybody was at the top, how valuable would life be? If nobody died, how grateful would we be alive? If it's always sunny, how would we appreciate the sun? It's the dualities of life. And in order to be able to, God dang it, you better wake up and set the foundation and put the systems in place to develop the traits that you can rely on when you get into the world with uncontrollable stressors. You have to put the systems in place and do it when the sun is out, because you can't repair your roof in the rain. Whether you feel good or you feel bad, or it's nice out or your friend's in town, you better get. Listen, I'm not saying don't rest, okay? Definitely rest. But the systems are about being diligent about what you said. It's about being on time. It's about making your bed. It's about cleaning up your crib. It's the small things. You ain't always got to burn 1,000 calories like me, but there's things that you do consistently when you don't want to do them that allow you to stay intentional instead of emotional.
I think they call that planning.
Plan something, man. Make a plan, man. Dang. Right plan, wrong man, I guess, if it missed you. Dang, 70, yeah. 72. We said come and go. Okay. What is one thing you did back in the day that came and went, or whether it be a lifestyle, whether it be some clothing, whether it be the way you talk, the way you coach? What is something that you did that has evolved over time to today?
Oh, man. Okay, well, let's put it this way. I was in the regular industry for 23 years. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
My kind of stuff.
We lived that back in the 70s and 80s. That disappeared a long time ago. Okay, now I was still working out and everything like that, but it was a part of the lifestyle. And you evolve out of that, and you get further into your lifestyle. So I left that life way behind me. But that would be the biggest thing I'll tell you that I changed over the years, in all honesty.
Do you ever have temptations? What was in that transition when you had temptations or old habits pop up? How did you overcome those?
It's just a matter of discipline, of saying, you know what? If you do one, we used to have a saying that if you say you're not going to drink, right, and you keep making a circle and walk around the bar, sooner or later, you're going to go in the bar. Okay? So my point is, don't circle the bar, man.
Circle the bar, man.
Take your ass home.
Go circle the bar. Go
circle the gym, shit. No, that's, yeah, I said, man, my dad been sober for 14 years, and, you know, he says all the time, people come back to his sober living, and they're like, oh, my friend had a drink. My dad's like, some people can drink. You cannot. Every time you do, you ruin your life. Some people can. Some people go out, have one, have two with dinner, go to a winery, go home, go to sleep early, wake up, go to the gym. That's fine. Just because you can't drink don't mean that no one else can, or just because other people do, don't mean you can. I mean, you got type 2 diabetes, don't be eating sugar. I can have sweet cheesecake because I put the systems in place and I don't eat it all day, every day. But I can have it on Friday. But if your blood sugar about to spike and you about to die, do not eat this cheesecake with me. Okay? What you doing?
And I'm not mad at you if you have some.
Right. Shit.
But that's for you.
That's what I'm saying. Listen, okay. Hey, I'll eat the cheesecake. You go watch the porn. We'll stay separate. I tell people, like, oh, you drink? I'm like, do you eat salt, caffeine, sugar, watch porn, swipe right, watch movies? All right, exactly. You got your own toxic shit. I got mine.
Did you have to cut a lot of people off? How did that process go when you had to take yourself away from that? Yeah.
No, you don't cut people off. You just become who you are, and you allow them to be who they are. Mm. That way you can stay with them. And when the time comes that they want to do something you don't want to do, that's not the time you're with them.
So you grow apart naturally, and you ain't got it.
But you grow, you can still be friends with
right.
Them.
It's not their fault that list is left. Yeah.
There you go. We just don't hang out the same way.
Yeah. And that's one thing, you know, we try to do with our communities, the Choose Yourself community, and what AF is building on the Source Junkie, is try to have a place where you can feel comfortable finding yourself. You can feel comfortable voicing your claims, and you can feel comfortable, you know, reaching out to people who have a mindset that you want, so that when you revisit the old habits, temptations, old relationships, you feel like you have the support of other people because you've had those conversations. Now, if you never go to, say, you're alcoholic, you never go to AA, you keep going to the bar, well, what kind of conversations you think you're going to have? They're going to call you a bitch for not taking a shot. Why are you at the bar? Why are you drinking water? That's what they're going to say. But if you go to an AA meeting, they ain't going to say none of that. They're going to say, don't bring that liquor in here. Because we all going to be fucked up.
Yeah, but you know what, though? But at the same time, Akeem, if you tell the people, that these are people got to be that you're real with and that they're real with you, and you tell them, I'm on a new direction. I'm not telling you that you got to go in that direction. I'm just telling you, I'm in a new direction. Most of the time, if there's somebody that cares about you, they'll support you in that direction. Even if they're having that drink right next to you, you can't have none. You got to get a soda, man. You told me you're not drinking anymore.
Right.
But that takes a real connection between people. That way, that's why we can allow one another to be ourselves without condemning or putting anybody up or down. It's about being yourself and surrounding yourself with people who allow you or feel comfortable with you being yourself, even if it's different than who they are.
What do you think it is for people who don't want to risk the friendship, you know, and not make that claim where it's like, you know, oh, we have so much fun partying, or we have so much fun when we smoke and fuck, or we have so much fun every time we go on vacation. But, you know, I don't want to lose that part of it, but I do want to depart.
Well, you know, first of all, that if I can't separate myself from you being myself, then you're not really my friend anyway. Okay, so that's when you start looking at what type of relationships I'm in with people, who's an associate, who's a friend, who's a brother, who's a sister. I mean, it's a big difference. You begin to, you know, like, so I'm not, I have nothing to risk. If we have an authentic relationship, I don't have anything to risk.
Right. Yeah, that's real. So just tell them, y'all, if y'all trying to make that move, man, find a community so you can build your confidence to be able to have that conversation, the uncomfortable conversations. And then, you know, when you tell them, pay attention to how they make you feel with their response. And it's not about their response. It's about how you feel about their response. And that's back to the intuition and authenticity. You know, if you got somebody that you can only, you know, I've had relationships where I can only drink with this person. I got a smoking buddy. I got a freaking stay up all night buddy. I got a freaking workout buddy. I got, you know, all these different type of experiences. And a lot of them are still in my life, but at a different capacity now, because we don't share the same mindset or the same desire to connect with a certain experience, but we do grow apart and we talk less because when you come from a mindset, say if my friend was big as hell and all he does is sleep late, play video games, and that used to be me, what the hell are we gonna talk about? Your mindset comes from a different type of lifestyle. And then when I start to talk about health, wellness, good choices, organic, not bullshit, not video games, it's like, that's where you just naturally grow apart. So just stay, you know, don't judge the person, because eventually they're going to have to make that choice on their own and go in that cocoon and turn into a pretty little butterfly by themselves.
Yes.
You know? Well, or the fact is that you can check in with them and you don't have to lose the friendship. It's just the fact that now the friendship has evolved to the point where we're not doing the same things anymore. But that doesn't mean I don't care about how your mother and your father are. I don't care how you're doing. It's just the fact that we can't hang out in that way that we used to hang out.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So that doesn't mean you have to put the person aside. It's just a matter of, it evolves, as you said, into a new type of relationship, a new dynamic.
Yep. And that relationship is, I'm going to party with y'all till 2 and I'm going home. Hey, I don't have to have the party no more, y'all, because I got to wake up and flush that shit out. All right.
Yeah.
If there were 3 things you could tell your younger self to be prepared for life, what would it be?
1, be patient. 2, don't get angry so quickly.
Damn, I need that one.
I did too. Okay. I look back on it now, man. I blew up from getting angry.
Man.
3, make sure that you're true to yourself and be strong enough. As my father told me, he said, sometimes you have to be able to walk alone. Be able to walk alone when necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. And that includes vices. That includes vices and addictions, man. I say it all the time.
Anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
Butt naked. That's why I got LASIK, because I couldn't go nowhere without my glasses. I said, oh, no. I need to call America's Best to be able to go grocery shopping so I could read. Oh, damn. I'm getting LASIK because I want to be able to walk naked alone and be just fine. That's why I'm working on my hip flexor now, because it's kind of tight.
Oh, my goodness. I think, well, Greg, this was amazing. We're wrapping up on our time. So you do coaching. You have all of these ways that you help people. How can people find you on Instagram, or how can they work with you? What can we put in the show notes for them to get in contact with you?
Well, actually, what you can do, my coaching website is head, capital HEAD, with a 2, literal numerical 2. Head, small HEAD, coaching.com.
Head to head.
That's my website.
Can you tell us a little bit about the books, why you wrote it? What's the synopsis of it?
Okay, well, all right. So I'm an astrology buff.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I have a whole library, but look, you know how I got into astrology? It was years ago in the 70s. when somebody would ask you a name, the first thing they said, what sign are you? I said, I'm an Aries. They said, oh my God. Oh, I said, oh wow. What is that?
Yeah.
I better go look that up. Well, I looked it up and I said, wow, okay. I can see where there could be some traits as Aries that if you don't change them, that's going to be problematic. So I said, okay, well, let me take what they say is bad and let me make it into something good. Then I started, because in the record business, it's a people's business. You have to get on the road, go meet a new program director or deal with an artist or something like that. And I found that there were certain people that it was easier to get along with than others. Not that you couldn't get along with anybody. So I just started researching that. So when I would go to meet somebody, I'd know who they were and whether it was going to be a simple relationship, a difficult one, or whatever. Okay, so how does that turn into exercise? After 20 years of personal training, I know everybody's sign. I remember their sign more than their name.
Same.
And I saw that certain signs have different proclivities in terms of how they approach their workout. Some people are habitual. Some people like to work hard. Some people are intense. Some people are lazy. Some people just want to talk. So that's how the book kind of evolved, that one. And then exercise for the mind, body, and soul is just something that I believe in. I think exercise is medicine. And I think that it's a healer. It releases endorphins, but it's a healer in so many ways that we could spend a whole hour talking about how exercise heals.
Real.
We're going to have you on another episode.
Yeah. Just for the books. Just for the exercise with the stars, man.
Hilarious.
I've had people say, oh, Libra makes sense. I'm always like, nah. Shit, I don't know what that means, but I know we got a scale and I do balance. But ever since I've been working with and growing with AF, I'm starting to realize more. I still haven't really took time to research it, but I hear about it all the
time. You need to look at your Gemini moon and your Sag rising. That's why you're so chatty. I have an Aries moon too, Greg. So I'm like...
You think I'm chatty?
Like, and yes. Are you kidding me? I love it. I need people like you around me.
Otherwise, just me. Damn. Yeah, well, I'm gonna have to tap into that book then. Dancing with the Stars. Yeah. Exercising with the Stars.
Exercise with the Stars.
We will link these. I'm sure, can we find them on Amazon? Or where do you sell them?
Yeah, on Amazon.
Okay, I'll link them in the show notes. If you're listening to this and you want to tap in with Greg, I'm excited to read that too. I love everything astrology. So...
These are not long books. This is a quick read. You can read these books in an hour.
Yeah. It's very interesting. It's very helpful for me. Like, I always just ask people, like, when's your birthday? And then I just know when the dates change for each sign. So I'm like, okay. Like, I know what they are without seeing, like, what's your sign coming off super crazy. It's got to be really subtle about it. But anyway, I love it. This was such a great conversation. Thank you so much for hopping on. And if you are listening, make sure that you rate our episode and share it to your socials. Tag Choose Your Soul Show on Instagram. And let us know what you think. We're so grateful.
Yeah, and don't forget, y'all, be patient. Don't get angry. And always choose yourself to strengthen your soul. Come on now. Appreciate y'all.
Amen to that. All right. Peace out.